And the epistle for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. And the Holy Gospel, sacred from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell them that were invited, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage.' But they neglected, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contumeliously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he saith to his servants, 'The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage.' And his servants going forth into the ways, gathered together all that they found, both bad and good, and the marriage was filled with guests. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he saith to him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?' But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two brief stories I would like to share with you, and each story having an opposite result. Valentinian I was the Roman emperor whose reign began in 364 AD. In the middle of one of his conquests, he had subjected one of the Germanic tribes, the Quadi, to the Roman Empire. And having conquered them, he was making plans to continue his campaigning with his army and to leave those lands he had conquered. Before the Romans' departure, though, a group of Quadi ambassadors came to the camp on November 17th, 375. The envoys were granted an audience with Emperor Valentinian. The Quadi insisted that this whole conflict between them was because the Romans had invaded their lands. And furthermore, the individual bands or groups of the Quadi were not necessarily bound to the rule of the chiefs who had made the treaties with the Romans. So they might, and they will, attack the Romans right when Valentinian leaves. This attitude and threat so enraged Valentinian that he flew into a screaming rage. And thus, while angrily yelling at the envoys for quite some time, the emperor suffered a fatal stroke at 54 years old. While many historians simply say he had a stroke, other historians say that, reddening with blood and screaming so much, he literally burst a blood vessel and expired. What we know for certain is that on November 17th, 375, the emperor died on account of his anger. The other story I would like to share is quite different, though. St. Clement Hofbauer was a Redemptorist priest who died in 1820. He was greatly known for his lifelong dedication to the care of the poor during a turbulent period in Europe's history, which left thousands in destitution. St. Clement Hofbauer was going around collecting alms for orphan children. And one day, he went into a restaurant, more like a tavern of a hotel. And walking into the restaurant, he saw a group of men sitting at a table, and so he approached them. The men were playing cards and gambling when the priest came up and asked them for donations. One of the card players, though, was a very anti-clerical, godless man. And so he got up, went right up to Father, and began cursing at him. Then pausing, the man spat into Father's face. The whole restaurant now was dead silent, and all were watching stunned. Father Hofbauer quietly and meekly took out a handkerchief from his pocket, wiped his face, and said, "That was for myself. And I ask you now for something, please, for these poor children of mine." The man was astonished, though, at this large priest's control over himself and control of his anger and making retribution. And so the man felt ashamed at his actions. He couldn't help but admire this priest. So then the man took all the money he had and gave his donation to Father. And within a couple days, that same man searched out for Father Hofbauer, made a general confession of his whole life, and from that time on, he led a very different and a holy life. Anger is the 11th passion, and it is one of the capital sins. It can be defined as an inordinate desire for revenge or the desire to strike back. Now, because it is a passion that every person has and every animal has as well, it is natural to have the feeling or passion of anger. However, we cannot give in to that passion. We cannot consent to anger and fall into the sin of anger. That is what St. Paul means when he says, "Be angry and sin not." He means that you might feel anger or you might be affected by a passion, but do not sin. Do not give in to this vice. And thus, even if you might be angry, sin not. And from one aspect, the sin of anger can be characterized by its effects on one's own person. Whether a Catholic or not, if you have eyes, the effects of anger are apparent to all. And thus, the pagan philosopher Seneca paints a very graphic picture. He says that for an angry person, their eyes burn and blink. His whole face is crimson with the blood that surges from his offended heart. His lips quiver, his teeth are clenched, his hair stands on end, his breathing is forced and harsh. He groans and he bellows. He blurts out scarcely intelligible words. He strikes his hands together continually and stamps the ground with his feet. Then Seneca concludes, "It is an ugly and a horrible picture of a frenzy. You cannot tell what is more appalling and hideous, the vice of anger or its effects." And Catholic writers agree that Seneca's external description is quite accurate. In treating more deeply into the heart and soul of a man, some Catholic writers characterize anger as an internal volcano, a recurring fever and a sweat. And perhaps it could be a voluntary burning down of your own home spiritually. And anger does not stop with affecting oneself. Just like envy, and as all the capital sins have what moral theologians call daughters, these daughters are the evil fruits produced by a vice. And based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas and Pope St. Gregory I, the daughters of anger are six. In the book, in Latin, they are indignatio, which is indignation, tumor mentis, clamor, blasphemia, contumelia, and rixa. And just to explain a few of them, indignatio is, of course, indignation or resentment. And though this resentment might not result in boxing, it can still be very deadly. It is the silent treatment, the cold shoulder, or the manipulative punishment of others. The daughter tumor mentis is where we get the word tumor from. It is the swelling or the excitement or the frantic excitement of the mind full of vengeful thoughts and desires. Clamor is disordered and confused speech, everything between mumbling and muttering, fuming and shouting. Rixa is literally a brawl or a quarrel. And moral theologians call rixa a private war. Between one person and another, you two are in a war. And this pampered daughter of rixa can wreak havoc in word and action, in noisy disputes or violent scuffles. The vice of anger, then, can certainly have a domino effect into catastrophe, both spiritually and physically. And this is exactly what we see in the story of Emperor Valentinian I. Valentinian was offended, he got angry, and he lost control. Like a volcano, he burst a blood vessel and had a stroke and expired. See the effects of unbridled anger. Nothing good comes from the sin of anger. And as I mentioned, the result of this vice can be a domino effect into catastrophe. And my dear faithful, because this struggle against anger is so urgent, the mere knowledge of how evil anger is not enough. It is not enough for you to know how dangerous this sin is, or how frightening and disastrous the effects might be, but we all need to know and to be armed with a remedy. The holy virtue opposed to the vice of anger is meekness. In the eyes of the world, though, and in the lies of the devil, meekness is a weakness. Some might say that is a weakness, that a man does not strike back, does not get revenge or get angry. That is, if someone strikes a meek man, he will not lash out or strike them back, but he will turn the other cheek, as our Lord said. The person who says that meekness is weakness, though, is wrong, of course. It is easy to do what a child would do. It is easy to do what a dog would do and strike back and bite at the enemy or fly into a rage like a child and take revenge. Whereas it takes real strength, heroic, manly virtue to be able to control the passions and imitate the God-man. Thus, my dear faithful, I want to give ways, then, to help practice this virtue of meekness, which are three remedies to fight against anger. The first means is to beware of the causes of anger, the persons and places who we know will be our battlegrounds. then immediately and strenuously let us resist the first motions or rise of anger. Theologians say to fight even at the first surfacing of anger, for it is easier to extinguish a spark than it is to put out a conflagration. It is like bringing a fire extinguisher to a volcano. It just does not work. Philosophers say that the greatest remedy of anger is to delay, to walk away from the anger as long as you are still affected by it. However, whether we can avoid the danger, but more especially if we cannot avoid the occasions, then we must always run to the second remedy. The second remedy is silence and prayer. St. James the Apostle exhorts us, "Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger." We have to do as mariners or sailors do when there is a great storm at sea. They cast an anchor off the ship and wait until the tempest is over. One philosopher counseled Emperor Augustus, when he felt risings of madness, to repeat the 24 letters of the Greek alphabet over and over before making any actions, making any decisions, or even saying a word. The third way is both a healing and a preventive medicine, and it is contained in the epistle of today's Mass. St. Paul tells us that if you find yourself guilty of anger or impatience, we ought to lay the axe to the root and fix it, to make amends and to apologize. St. Paul says, as I mentioned, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger." The first words are a Hebraic implicit phrase, "If you should be angry, then sin not." And then he goes on to say, "If you fall, repair it as soon as possible." And our Lord himself said, "If thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." The sooner we make amends, the easier it is, and the sooner the better. Similarly, St. Jerome tells us to slay the enemy while he is small. Thus, if we give in and we fall into anger, let us make amends and apologize as soon as possible. To say sorry, or to say the words, "I was wrong," can be very difficult for some persons. Yet we know that is the greatest medicine we can take. At the same time, we must not say or manipulate our words and say, "I'm sorry you were offended," not, "I'm sorry you took it that way," not, "I'm sorry you bother me so much." But we should say, "I'm sorry for my anger and for my own faults." By not letting the sun go down on our anger, my dear faithful, and by making amends, we extinguish anger before the eruption, and we take practical steps in practicing meekness. It was by following these remedies that St. Clement Hofbauer was able to keep anger in check, to practice meekness, to win the alms for the orphans, and more or most importantly, to win the conversion and the soul of the man who slapped him. Let us, my dear faithful, follow in the footsteps of St. Clement Hofbauer and use the three practices of meekness to extinguish anger and to become saints. Just as sin and vice can corrupt others and drag others down, Just so, virtue, holiness, and goodness can be contagious and raise others up. Virtue can be like a fervent flame of love which enkindles others around us, until you and those around you are practically in a contest of meekness, kindness, charity, and holiness. And let us not forget, too, that our greatest model of meekness is the Sacred Heart Himself. He tells us, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And he also says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you." This is the heart of our divine Savior, and it ought to be the heart of every one of his followers. Therefore, my dear faithful, let not the sun go down upon your anger. And if there is anger or enmity between you and another, leave off everything else and repair it. And then we will be learning from him who is meek and humble of heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.